Welcome to Jewish History with Rabbi David Katz, connecting the human side to Jewish history. For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidavidkatz.com.
Hi, it's Sunday morning. Actually, it's around the afternoon. I'm almost at 12. And I have a big event coming later in the day. So let me see if I can take a look at the Parsha right now, which is being sponsored by our good friend, Joseph Hiller, out there, where he says, this is the week of March 24th, Kisisa, in honor of my son Elijah's bar mitzvah. So mazel tov to that. That is a mazel tov. Thank you very much. In fact, it says, in honor of Elijah Hiller and his bar mitzvah, and in merit of Elijah and children, the podcast audience, the catch me, Hashem, bless them with strength and protection. Well, amen to that. No, seriously. Obviously, I may do one or two in this week's project because it's very rich material. And I'll just share with you something that strikes me. I haven't even looked at it yet, but I know Kisisa, which is about the golden calf. And it's very interesting because this is a big sin, of course, in Jewish history. And, you know that. And the question is, who did it? And there's one school of thought is that the Jewish people didn't get over it. The other one is, no, the Erev. Okay? The Rambam famously says, I remember back in chapter 13, I think, of Hilchos Issur Bia, where he says, you know, you don't want the bad Gerim, you want the good Gerim. You know? And the ones who are like, the Asafsuf, as he calls them, they're the ones who caused the Egel Azov and all the other stuff. That's one theory. And that way, you know, it wasn't Klal Yisrael exactly, it was the Erev, in which case it was Moshe Rabbeinu's fault. Because, again, there's a famous Medrash, I've used it many times, back in, it's in this week's Parsha. Let me remember it. I almost remember by heart that, you know, Lech Shiches Amcha. Lech Raid, Kishichas Amcha, that when Moses is up on the mountain, you know this story. Moshe is up there for 40 days and 40 nights. By the time it's over, he gets the tablets, the first Luchos. Meanwhile, downstairs, he's late or something like that. And they panic and make a golden calf. So Noah's on the 40th day. The conclusion of the 40th day. We know that. That's the Shabbos of Atamas, which really should have been a holiday, but instead turned into a fast day. Okay, so it's a famous chazal. Lech rei kishichas amcha. God says to Moshe, up on the mountain, go down. First of all, go down the mountain. Second of all, it's wonderful, you know, poetry. Go down a madriga, right? Lech rei, descend in madriga. Meaning, your chashivas is only because you represent the Jewish people. If they're out of it because they're making a golden calf, then you don't have any value. I think the Medrash says those words. Anyhow, so the famous Medrash says, what do you mean Amcha? You know, the old line. Your people have gone bad. And Moshe says, Amcha below Ami? You know, in other words, how come you, Hashem, when you're in good mood, you say, Ami Yisrael, my people. When something's bad, you say, Amcha, your people. You know, like the two parents are fighting. My kids got an A on the on the test. Your kids got the F on the other test, even though they're the same kids and same parents. So we understand that, you know, that's how people are sometimes, but not Hashem. And Hashem says, Lech, according to this Medrash, Lech Reid Kishichas Amcha, I'm referring to the Erev. That's Amcha. Why? Because when they left Egypt, Hashem says, I told you about Seisis Ami B'nai Yisrael Mitzvah, take out only the Jews. Be racist. Only the Jews. And you, Atosha, I remember the Lashem. Atosha Kosher Mimeni, you were like firmer than me, firmer than God. So you insisted, you know, Ola Makabim Mashabim, anybody, you know, Baal Shuba, anybody wants to come, you always take them. And so now, look what they did. They all made a golden calf. So that's a, you know, famous part. And that would assign the blame on the Erev Rav. But the truth of the matter is, if you think about it a little bit, it just struck me this morning, actually when I was swimming, that it's interesting because, you know, what's going on over? I'm sure I mentioned this in the past in some way. I just noticed the other day, it got to be something else. It's a very, very interesting Ramban, who back in the Ten Commandments, Vayechen Yisrael Neged Ahar over there, in the beginning, in other words, of Perek Yud Tes, where I guess when they get to the Ten Commandments, so we all know it's Vayechen Yisrael Neged Ahar. Yisrael camped Neged Ahar by Har Sinai. So why Yisrael? So the Ramban, among other things, suggests Yitochen Shevdilu Mitochem Kol HaSafsa V'Sheber Kirbam. This is crazy, that when the Jewish people approached Har Sinai, Moshe, what's the right word, made a segregation, and he said like this: "You, the heir of Rab, you stay back here, and the Klal Yisrael, the pure Jews, they will approach Mount Sinai and see the Ten Commandments." Right? Again, Shehivdilu mitochem kol asafsev shebekirba. So in other words, if you imagine there's 3 million people, that takes up a lot of room around Har Sinai, and so the ones who are actually going to see and hear are going to be the ones that are in the immediate vicinity of Har Sinai. When I say immediate vicinity, it could be a mile, but you know, it's 3 million people around the mountain or more. And beyond that will be the heir of Rav, which is a very interesting kind of situation, because what it means is they can see it from afar. They can hear it indistinctly. I mean, that's what it suggests to me. That's just interesting. You know, they weren't Jewish, but they want to become Jewish, it seems. They want to leave Egypt, let's put it that way. And for some reason, Moshe Rabbeinu makes the executive decision that they're not going to be present exactly at the Har Sinai, the Ten Commandments, which is weird, because you think everybody come aboard. If you're a Geret Tzedek or something like that, welcome aboard. Unless you say that Moshe Rabbeinu himself took these people on board, but he was mesupik about them. You know, if somebody says, I want to join, you don't have the heart to say no, like he says in the Medrash, La'olam makabla mashabim. On the other hand, you know, let's put it this way. Maybe they're not the right people. In order to be present at Har Sinai, you have to have been a slave in Egypt of Klal Yisrael. You know, there's even a crazy, it's not a Medrash, I forget where it is. But when you get to the famous question of Yisrael, did he show up, you know, Vayavo Yisrael and all that. Did he, when he came with the wife and children of Moses, so, you know, it's a debate, as you know. Was it before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah? And some say this way, some say that way. But it's a famous problem with the ones who say that Yisrael shows up after Matan Torah, because it means that Zipporah and Moshe's kids were not in Matan Torah. Do you get it? In other words, Yishma Yisrael, according to one shot, he heard about Matan Torah. According to Yalim Shad, he heard about Mechamis HaMolek and Kriyas Yamsa. So if you say he came after the Ten Commandments, to the children of Moshe Rabbeinu, the wife of Moshe Rabbeinu, were not present at Har Sinai, Hayatochen, you get what I'm saying? And there's even, this is like you find in the Achronim, I think, like in the 1500s, the 1600s. If I remember correctly, I think the Rebbe of the Marshal is when it goes into this, Shalom Neustadt. And they had something like, well, you, or maybe it was a Chizkuni even. Let me hold on for a second. Yep, I just looked through around here. Yeah, it's a Chizkuni. At the very end, where it says Moshe sent his father in law home, by Shalach Moshe, and Schosna by Yelech Larto. So, if you go, actually, I see the Chizkuni here has a long arichas on the chronology. But anyway, if you say that this happened after Matan Torah, Lefi Shita Zu, Tzarech Lomar, Gershon Ve'Eliezer, Lo Amdol Har Sinai. V'yal Bishin Raya L'davar Zeche L'davar, Shlehuz Kumikan Be'ech B'Shum Mokum B'Torah. Right? We always know one of the interesting things is you never hear any reference to the sons of Moshe in the Chumash. No, it's God did not put them in. That's strange. So one shot, I mean, this is the Chizkuni, not me. One shot is that, you know, they weren't in Matan Torah, therefore they don't get it. All I'm trying to say is that there's obviously a qualitative difference if you were present at Har Sinai or you're not. Now, Gershon Eliezer, according to the shot that I just said, that they came later, were mamish not at Har Sinai. The heir of Rav were like far off, right? According to that Ramban. Which is just interesting, because I'll tell you what I mean. Let's say you want to blame it on the heir of Rav. They made the golden calf. Okay, fine. Why wouldn't they? They didn't hear. Let me put it this way. In general, there's always a big problem. Where does it say in the Chumash, you're not allowed to make a statue of God? Believe me, it ain't so pushit, right? Because it doesn't say it anywhere. And I'm not even sure there's, it says Lo Sasuni Ti Eloi Chesed Eloi Zov. And, you know, they Darshan over Lo Sasun OC, you know. But if you actually look at Lo Tasun OC, don't make me, which would sound a little bit at least like, you know, there's a prohibition not to make an image of God. You get what I'm saying? Not an idol. Let me put it this way. There's two types of idolatry. I must have said this before. Two types of idolatry, A and B. One is you worship another god. Baal, Asherah, Kamosh, whatever you want, right? Jupiter. So what you're saying is like this. I'm worshiping something other than Rabbeinu Shalom. So if you think about it, the problem is not making the idol. The problem there is worshiping another deity, which doesn't exist. So that's one type of Avodah Zarah. Now I'm going to tell you a different one. Suppose you make an idol of Hashem. You bow down to it. That's not exactly Avodah Zarah. You get what I'm saying? It's a sin of idolatry, as it were, that you're not supposed to make an image of God. Okay? Which, by the way, is much less of a Isser, I would imagine. You know what I mean? In other words, if I ask you the question, which is theologically more offensive? Worshipping another deity or making an image of God, even though you realize that God is invisible and beyond, you know, description, but you say, I need something, right? Listen, after all, the Mishkan's like that, isn't it? B'shachanti b'socham, ha-machzi yishchinos b'tzion. We say in some sense, you know, even though we know Hashem is not, you know, in space and all the rest of it, he created it all, blah, 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 all that stuff. Nevertheless, there is such a thing called the Beis HaMikdash. There's such a thing called the Mishkan. They talk about the fact you can see the Shechina. So somebody wants to make an idol, which is the best interpretation, the firmest interpretation of what happened with Egal Zohar, right? In other words, they were not worshiping another idol. That is to say, they were not worshiping another deity because they said, Elo Hachi Yisrael Sher Halucha Meretz Mitzrayim. They did not say that we were taken out by Baal or Asherah or one of those things. Otherwise, they would have made an image of that. If they made Egal Azov, I mean, we don't know really where the idea of Egal Azov comes from. There are different suggestions in the Mepharshim. I mean, I get that. You know that, and I know that. But the plain story seems to be that the problem they had was invisible God. You understand? Zeho Ish Lo Yadan Mehoyelo. Moshe has not shown up. That put them into a panic. You know, that's understandable. You know, it was wrong. It was sinful. But like I said before, you know, Aaron went along for the best reasons. You know, I mean, granted, but Aaron went along because they weren't worshiping another idol, another god, I should say. Suppose they would have said, we want to now start to worship a Baal. I think Aaron would have given up his life. You see? What they did was an Avodah Zarah of a different nature, which was, they said, you can make an image, but it's for Hashem. So, that's not in the Ten Commandments, baby. Right? Lo yeloch elohim acher malponai. Right? You know, you can't make other gods, like Baal, Zeus, Jupiter, and so forth. But you can't, it doesn't say you can't make an image of me. And I'll tell you again, I don't think in the Shulchan Aruch, I mean, I just looked in Kuf Mem Aleph over there the other day, it doesn't talk about the fact you can't make an image of Hashem. It talks about different Avodah Zarahs and can you make an image of a person. And when the Gemara darshans Los Asunu see. Here I'm just looking at Torah Tamimi here from Gemara Avodah Zarah. It says, "Kol ha-partzufim mutarim chutz mi-partzavodam, my time marbruhunam los asuno si." So you can't make an image of a man. Which, you know, there are halachic things that is it a whole body or part of a body, you know, all that stuff. But the point is that you make an image of a man because it says, "Betzelam him boras adam." So somebody might say, "I'll make an image of a person, and that'll give me an idea of what God is like, even though not exactly." That basically is the Greek religion. Okay? Matter of fact, if you want to get very historical about historicist, not that you do, probably that Gemara Avodah Zarah is reflecting the Hellenistic culture in which you make an image of God based on the human form, because as I've said many times, the Greeks couldn't understand the other religions like Egypt and others, where they made idols of animals and even pussy ants and crocodiles and cockroaches. I mean it. Because they said, that doesn't make any sense. If there's a God, you should make the highest creature. Man is the highest creature, you know. And therefore, if you want to make an image of God or the gods, then, you know, it would be the human, right? Even though you realize God is not really human. So that would be lo sasuno si. But what if a person says, you know, I'm just making this up. I want to make yud kei vav kei or something like that. And that'll be the thing I bow down to or whatever I do. But my idea is the Ribono Shel Olam. So, and not so push it. Where that is, there comes from. Right? And what I'm trying to say is like this. It wasn't said at the Ten Commandments. It was said, if anything, maybe, right afterwards, where it says, Kosamar b'nei Yisrael, Atem Risa b'neshmaim dibartuchem, lo sasuni ti Elohei chesav Elohei zav lo sasu lachem. If you want to argue that it comes from that. You know, Rashi gives you the regular shot. Lo tasun demus shamashayam shamshin lefone b'morim. Don't, you know, make an image of the kind of things that the Nevi'im say are in Shamayim. You know what I mean? What was it again? The Mechilta says, lo demus malochim, lo demus ofanim, lo demus kruvim. So don't make an image of angels. Okay, I get that. But don't say... You get what I'm saying? It's not clear. Now, you could disagree with me and say that it's mashma from that. Should make anything that represents Hashem. Maybe yes, maybe no. All I'm trying to say is like this. Don't shoot the Erevra because they left Egypt. They weren't at Har Sinai, as we said before. That puts them in a funny situation. They were not at Har Sinai because Moshe decided to segregate them. So, if anything, they were far off. I mean, let's put it this way. If it was Kol Shofar Godol Ma'od, you know, Im Shomim Anachnu Es Kol Hashem, you know, it was real loud. So you could see it from far off. But obviously, it seems to me anyway, especially based on this Ramban, if the Klal Yisrael is close to the mountain and the Erevah is far from the mountain, it's not just a spatial vort. But it sounds like the Klal Yisrael is getting the full business and those who are far off are getting it more unclear, particularly if you go like the Rambam, the Meravuchim, which is that the Jewish people only heard the first two, you know, commandments, and the rest were heard by Moshe. All they heard from the other eight commandments were like, blah, 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 you know, sound words, but not articulated, you know, speech. Only Moshe heard that. But that's a country, you know, that's if you go like the Meravuchim. All I'm trying to say is, so here you are at Avrav. They didn't, again, it says that the sons of Moshe, oh yeah, it's like this. Why were they not at Har Sinai? I forgot. I think it's the Rebbe of the Marshal. Because they didn't go through the Shibud Mitzrayim. You know, Moshe got married in Midian. His kids never went to Egypt. They ducked that one. Therefore, they don't have that the feel of what it's like when Hashem said, Anochi Hashem Melkecha, Asher Tzitzich Me'eretz Mitzrayim, you know, and especially, what's the other Lashon, you know, Zachar V'Shamar, Shamar Zim HaShabbos, you know, because you were slaves in Egypt, now you're not. That, you have to have gone through that experience. That's what that Shita holds like. You have to have been like survivors to have a full appreciation of what's said in the Ten Commandments and afterwards. And since Moshe and kids didn't, so, you know, they weren't part of it. Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, that's a famous answer. So if that's the case, then it becomes interesting. Who are the Erev exactly? They're obviously non-Jews who signed up to leave with the Jews. So one way of understanding it, it's not clear. See, there's no clarity. Is that they were slaves of the Egyptians. And they saw the Jews getting out and they said, count me on board. I'll do anything to get out of here. I don't want to be a slave anymore. And therefore, theologically, they were still mixed up. They only wanted to leave because of the Jews. Hashem did not want them, according to that way of thinking, because their hashkabas were all messed up. He had enough trouble with the Klal Yisrael. You don't need extra trouble with the Erev. But Moshe took them anyway. And therefore, don't be surprised if they introduce a golden calf concept. But I don't know if that's true. It could very well be that the Erev were educated, intelligent Egyptians, who as a result of the 10 plagues, and Makkas Mechores said, Zeke Levaveo, you know what I mean? In other words, the Jews got the right God. We used to be Egyptians and believe in all Egyptians' gods. But now that we see, Ubechol Elohei Mitzrayim Eseh Shvatim, that means we see the collapse of our theological system. So we're abandoning it. We used to believe in this stuff, and we really did. But now we've been persuaded by the evidence of our eyes that it was wrong. It could happen. What did John Maynard Keynes say? When I get new evidence, I change my mind. What do you do? You know? That could be the Erev. What I'm trying to say is like this. They could have been priests, professors, generals, stuff like that. The Jewish history has more than a few situations of people joined the Jewish religion who are high machers in the outside world. Wasn't it they were losers? You understand? I mean, that's a separate schmooze. But if you go through the list of the gerim that we know, especially the Gerit Tzedek and all this, some were high-level priests and generals and this and that and the other. It's quite remarkable, okay? So if that's the Erev, then let's put it this way. Then you could say Moshe made a big mistake in two ways. Number one, Hashem said, don't take them aboard. Number two, if you do take them aboard, then make sure they're there at Har Sinai. So they can see the Kol Hashem and say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha lo yelechim acher malpanai and all the rest of it. And then you won't make a golden calf. Because according to the theory that the Erev did, what happened was Moshe was late, but it never occurred to Klal Yisrael to go make Egal Zov. You know what I'm saying? They were just complaining, you know, like Yekis. He's late. You know? What's going on? And so forth. Maybe they were panicked a little bit. You know, which is understandable. But to go and say, you know, let's get his parku nizme hazov asher, you know, ba'ozne the shechem, and go make an idol, an image, and all the rest, even if it's a good image. Cool high. And they would kill Hur. You know what I'm saying? That's a little bit heavy. So you say, well, it wasn't a Jew. According to this, it wasn't the Jews at all. It was these Erev types who persuaded the Jews. And they infected them, shall we say. Well, listen, what do you want? You took them out. They didn't go through the Shibud Mitzrayim. They did see the 10 plagues. That's true. And they did cross the Red Sea. That is true also. But they weren't in Har Sinai. And so they weren't, what's the right word? Cleansed, shall we say? Purified of their false ideas. When I say false ideas, you got to be careful. It's not that they didn't believe in one God. They just felt, what's the problem with making an image of that God? I'll tell you again, that's not Avodah Zarah as we classify it typically. It's a different type of Avera, so to speak. And it's not explicit in the Ten Commandments. And to tell you the truth, it's not explicit in the rest of the Chumash. You know, a lot of times this is a problem when we say there's a deraisa. So what do you mean by the fact that something's a deraisa? Is it what the Gemara calls Tiyinoko shel beis rabam, yodim aso? Something explicit in the Chumash, like lo tirtzach, lo tignov, which means don't kill and don't steal, even though it has other shots also. But, you know, at the basic level, they know you don't eat a ham sandwich. It's a chazir. Or are you telling me that all the things we learn in the Gemara from the Yud Gimel Midos and all the rest of it were known to everybody? And that makes any sense. You know, I saw the other day, I was looking at something about, what was it, Yayin Nesach? And, hold on for a second. Here, I just pulled this out because I was giving a share in something else yesterday. Yayin Nesach, no, it's a wine that was used for Avodah Zarah. It's also in the Torah. It was Dvarim Shel Goyim Asurim B'Surim Isarano. It's also B'Shtiyah. It's also B'Hano. Where? Show me in the Chumash, where it says, Thou shalt not drink Yayin Nesach. Get what I'm saying? You say it's derisa. I'm not talking about Stam Yenu. I'm talking about Yayin Nesach. So I'm looking at the Gemara Chav Tes in Avodah Zarah. Yayin Menolon. So it says, well, it says, Ashechelu Zvachema Yechelu Yishtu Yen Yisicham. Whoa. That's part of the poem in Hazinu. And you're talking about Geisha, the nations, Ashechelu Zvachema Yechelu Yishtu Yen Yisicham. That they eat their chelub and they drink their wine. Where does that say that Minat Torah, it's usher to have to drink or have hanoh from Yayin Nesach? Mazevach oser bano af yain oser bano. And then the Gemara goes on and say, and zevach guf menolim. But how do you know zevach? No, it's where does it say? You can't just say this is the derisa. Where does it say, right, that you can't have a hano or something from a zevach? No, it's from a Avodah Zarah carbon. Show me where it says in the Chumash something like that. And it says, well, d'chsivah yitzom del bal par v'yichlo v'zivcha mason. That, you know, the Bnei Yisrael, by some of the ballpark, you know, by the, what is it over there at, when Miriam, at the end of Bullock, right? We had the Benos, Moav and all that. By some of the ballpark, by Yochum, is in Mechmesim. And hold on for a second. That's in the Tehillim, okay? That pusset, right? In 119, in Psalm 119. No, it's Psalm 106. But anyway, so I repeat, you know, Zevach Guf Minoli. Well, there's a pasuk in Tehillim. Huh? Ma Meis Oser Banov, Zevach Nosser Banov. Umeis Guf Minoli. How do you know the Meis? Because it says, Shom Shom is Exer Shabba Megla Rufa. Vatama Shom Miriam, Varvu Shom is Egla Banocho. Ma Hal Nosser Banov, Hal Kosser Banov. And how do you know by Egla Rufa it's Oser Banov? It says, Kaper Lamcha Yisrael, Kapar Si Bekakachim. I mean, that's very unclear. Do you get what I'm saying? That's very unclear. So if you're an Eir Rav or something like this, you say, well, it says Lo Sasu Niti, which was said after the Ten Commandments. And it means Lo Si, and it means this, that, and the other. Are you telling me that everybody in Klal Yisrael knew all these Yud Gimel Midos, you know, Kal V'chomer, Zer Shav Ben Yanov, and all the rest of it? It doesn't sound like it, right? I mean, I wasn't there. Maybe so. Maybe everybody was... I guess if you learn, everybody was in Super Madriga. But seriously, you get what I'm saying? Some things are clear, some things are not clear. Now, this has to do with all kind of technical questions, like when you see a drasha, you know, this goes back to David Zvi Hoffman versus the, you know, Doris Rishonim and all that business. Did they know the din and only later look for the psukim? Or did they learn it out of the psukim in Har Sinai? All that stuff, you know, how the drashas work. But the bottom line is, there's things that are clear in the Chumash, and things that are not clear in the Chumash. And if you're talking about the Erev Rav, so I can totally hear that, number one, they're leaving Egypt with everybody else. They have a general idea that the gods of Egypt are baloney, and that the gods of the Jews are the correct ones. But where is it in there that you're not allowed to make an image of a statue of that god? And then you say they go all the way with Klal Yisrael to Har Sinai. But then they're not there at Har Sinai. They see it from afar. So if they see it from afar and they hear it from afar, you know, if the Klal Yisrael themselves heard things in a unclear way, because remember they told Moshe, you tell us what to do and all that, which Moshe tells them over the next 40 years, you expect the Erev Rav to have understood this interesting distinction that you're not even to make a statue of God, which you mean with the greatest possible respect. Because that's the firm way of interpreting the Egel Zov, that they meant it in a very respectful way, even though you and I know it was wrong. What I'm trying to say is like this. So then, you know, how bad was it? Now, in a Hanami, it degenerates because that's what happens with idolatry. And it turned into partying and dancing and this and that. I mean, I get that. And, you know, this is what happens. Right? I mean, you know, when you look back, you see this is why, this is one of the reasons, at least, why Hashem prohibits idols and images and things of that nature. But how are you supposed to know at that time? So all I'm trying to say is when you look at this parsha, you try to go through some of the traditional explanations, which are from Chazal or, you know, the Rishonim, the Chizkuni, and all the rest of it, you end up with a very unusual picture, which makes it sound like Moshe Rabbeinu, who was brand new at this, in the Kiruv, and I mean this, I don't mean to be funny here, who was brand new at the Kiruv business, you know, didn't get it exactly right. Because it seems to me, if you're going to bring him in, then teach him the basics. Right? In other words, when the Ten Commandments are over, you know, make sure that these Erev Rav, if you're making them come along, I mean, they should be part of it, the Ten Commandments, I suppose. Unless you say whoever wasn't part of the Shibud experience can't hear the Ten Commandments. But then what are you taking them along for? You see? So it comes up with a very unclear business, but a very fascinating one in terms of the major images that it raises, in terms of not just Kiruv, but I guess you'd say like this, the follow-up to Kiruv. And saying you want somebody to become from, but then you have to spend a lot of time explaining the ins and outs and the do's and don'ts. Otherwise, the person himself, who is the one who's makurovd or converted or something like that, with the best intentions in the world, can make a whole mess. They think they're doing the right thing, and they're not doing the right thing. You know, it could be that the Erev Rav meant very well in their way of thinking. Again, I know it degenerated, but I'm saying in their way of thinking. And it turned out to be a mess. So I don't know. This strikes me as very intriguing. What exactly happened in terms of the background that they goes up? I just wanted to share those ideas. Again, I want to echo what I said before. I hope that Joseph Hiller and his son, Elijah Hiller, especially having bar mitzvah, they should all have good health and hatzlacha. And with that, I close it down.
For sponsorship opportunities or to support this podcast, please visit our donate page at www.support.rabbidovidkatz.com.